today I want to start what's called the Prakim. Okay, I want to start what's called the Prakim. Now, if you have a Sefer Nefesh HaChaim in front of you, you'll see the following happens. You'll see that there's gate one, which is all about the fundamentals of Avodas Hashem, like we discussed already, the whole concept of Tzelem Elokim, etc. Then you have gate two, which is about Tefillah. Then you have gate three, which is a Kabbalistic concept of, you know, how Hashem appears in the world, basically. And this was written, it's a very controversial topic, and we're not going to get into it right now. Then there is an unnamed chapter called the Chapters. It doesn't have a name. It's called the Prakim. Now, the Prakim, in many ways, is a Musar synopsis of the whole book. In other words, the whole book is very philosophical, very Kabbalistic, very deep, very conceptual. And the Prakim, which is short, basically sums up the entire book in a very practical Musar perspective. Basically saying, okay, this is the bottom line. This is how a Jew is supposed to behave. This is what you're supposed to do. Not why, not how, which is the rest of the book, but what? What do you do? And what don't you do? Then after that goes into the fourth chapter, which is the well-known one in the world of the yeshivas, which is all about the importance of Talmud Torah, the importance of learning as a part of Avodas Hashem. And this is obviously what Chaim Volozhiner is most famous for, because he started the yeshiva movement. Okay, so we're going to start the, what's called the Prakim. Okay, now the Prakim, like I said, they're very sharp and very, very, pointed. And also remember, like what we said before in the past, which is that the book is coming to directly attack and directly, pin the hashkafa of the Vilna Gaon against the hashkafa of the Hasidic movement. So you will constantly be seeing throughout these prakim references to what some people do. Now, those some people are the early Hasidim, and that, you know, the concern of Chaim Volozhiner and the Vilna Gaon was that it was getting too far. Okay? So let's see what he says. Ata hakorei na'im, you, my beloved reader, hinei hidrachticha be'ezras Hashem b'nesivus ha'emes. I have led you down the path of truth. L'horis l'fanecha derech telech b'olavetach, to understand the true way, the true path that Jews should walk. And you can teach yourself slowly. You can slowly train yourself into these concepts. You can even do more than what I revealed to you here. As long as you get accustomed to doing it. And you'll see that the more you get accustomed to doing this according to this hashkafa, you will constantly be adding tahara, you will constantly be adding kedusha, and you will constantly go in the right way. Umnam. And here's the line where he basically sets up what his concern is. He shomer v'yizarmer, be very careful. What if you be careful of that? Shaloi tazuach daitecha alav v'sisnasa levavecha. Don't become a haughty. Don't become haughty in your service of Hashem. Say, hey, look around. I'm the only one on this level. Look at all these non-Nefesh HaChaim people. Look how they lead their lives. They don't know. They open the Siddur Daven. You think they know what they're talking about? I know that davening is you're supposed to think about Hashem and put your neshama up there and forget about your goof and raise yourself up and all the levels we had. You know, then you start looking at and you realize, hey, what are all these people doing? They're davening. They never even learned Nefesh HaChaim. They know what they're talking about. They don't know how to daven. Hey, these guys are good for nothing. If you don't know what you're doing, it's nothing. So he says, no, you can't do that. Don't become a Balgai. This was really, by the way, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai when he came out of the cave. Right? Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, when he came out of the cave, started looking around the people, and he burnt them. Rav Shimon, the son. Right? So that's a problem. Uvashkofer Yishon Allah Targish Kol Kach B'his Nasus Lib Chom Yizeh. You have to really, really look deep. the Kosov Mefurish, and the Torah says explicitly, Toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. Anyone that's haughty, Hashem doesn't like that. Sha'afim lo Yisrael, es nasus lem nebnei adam. And even if you don't pretend, you don't act haughty, but you feel better, that you're better than other people, Hashem doesn't like that either. He toyavas, toyeva mamish lefanav yizbarach. It's mamish, disgusting to Hashem. Ki adua shihi asherish v'asar shebe'isa. This is one of the worst things that Hashem could have. And it says in the Gemara in Soita that anyone that's a Baal Gaiva is like he built himself his own altar. In other words, if you're a Baal Gaiva, who are you worshiping? You're worshiping yourself. You're just using Avodas Hashem to further along your Gaiva. Okay. So you're basically pushing Hashem out of the world, and you're losing your own chachma, like the Gemara says in Pesachim. So you have to be very careful not to be a Baal Gaiva. Okay? And he brings down a story with Hillel HaZaken, and we'll say over the story. There was a story that Hillel, now if you have to think of anybody who was considered the opposite of haughty, who was the biggest, Anav, it probably was Hillel, right? Hillel HaZaken. Now, there was a story when they appointed Hillel to be the Nasi. It was Erev Pesach. And he had given some sort of instructions about how to do the Korban Pesach. Okay? Now, afterwards, he felt like his instructions were giving him too much of a haughty manner. And what happened was, he forgot how to paskin. And the Gemara says, this is a proof to a very important member of Chazal. Kol ha-misyayer, anyone that becomes a Baal Gaiva, chachmasa mistalekes mimenu, he loses his wisdom. Anyone that's a Baal Gaiva loses their wisdom. So in other words, imagine the Nefesh HaChaim says, Hillel was considered the most humble of all men, and yet a little bit of Gaiva came in, and that was no good. So now, where is he going with this? Okay? Right? So where is he going with this? Where he's going with this is that people may start to think that the only way to worship Hashem is with these high levels. Now, all of these high levels, you do two things. Number one is you think that that's the only way to worship Hashem. So therefore, if there are people that are not doing that, you're going to think they're good for nothing. And number two, right, is going to be that the opposite. Number two is that, it's going to come out that that when you see other people worshiping Hashem the regular way, you're going to look down at them. And he continues on and he says, that's very bad. You cannot do that. And then he says, even people who are learning Shaloi Lishma. Okay, now he goes on to this is one of the famous topics in Nefesh HaChaim. What about someone who's learning Shaloi Lishma? He's not learning Lishma. Now, do you remember when we discussed what's Lishma? What's Shalom Lishma? Lishma means for the sake of the mitzvah of learning. We'll see exactly what Lishma is. But if you're learning Torah Lishma for the highest level, okay, and then you see someone else learning, what is this guy doing? Is he really learning? So you're going to downgrade everyone. He says, you can't do that. And he goes on to say that no matter what a person is doing, you have to realize that they're worshiping Hashem, they're doing their best. You reaching these levels is not me. You know, he feels Nefesh HaChaim that there's a risk in revealing to people the levels that he revealed in the Sefer. The risk is that once you know all this, you may start thinking to yourself, well, if I don't do that, then what's the point? If I don't think about the high levels that Nefesh HaChaim is describing, so what's the all worth? So he said, no. The bottom line is, like he's been saying in the whole Sefer throughout, the actions speak for themselves. The actions speak for themselves. And therefore, if you are doing the right thing, even if you're doing the right thing, even if you don't necessarily have the right intentions, and even if you're not Lishma, and even if you're not the highest level, makes no difference. Makes no difference, because bottom line is, you are doing the right thing. And therefore, that's at the end of the day, that's what you're supposed to do, is do the right thing. And don't worry so much about everything else. And that's the risk. And that's why he's writing this chapter here, to mitigate that risk. So I think that's why, you know, people who study this book have posed a question, like, why didn't he name this chapter one of the chapters? It's like, there's chapter one, chapter two, chapter three. Then there's the middle, untitled, which is what we're learning now. And then chapter four. Why didn't he make a chapter three, you know, four and five? The answer is that these chapters are not part of the core book. These chapters are not part of what he's saying. It's a disclaimer of sorts to explain to us, don't get carried away. And don't think that if I teach you these levels and you can't keep them, then hey, what's it worth? No, these levels exist, but you have to know that at the end of the day, as long as you're doing the action of the mitzvah and you're saying the words of the tefillah, that speaks all for itself, okay? So we'll continue on this on Tuesday. Tomorrow, again, I will not be here, okay? Tomorrow I will not have a share. Adam, maybe send that a reminder tomorrow, like 8 o'clock. There won't be a share. And then Tuesday we'll be back on, okay?
Have a good night.
Thank you, everyone. Have a great night. Okay, great. Have a great night, Colton.